us for the most anticipated Reds season in more than a decade. Yes, there are injuries. Yes, there are unknowns. But for me anyway, there are many, many things to be excited about. So let's get to it. I'm Jeff.
I'm Tom.
I'm Kim.
And we are the three old Reds fans. Welcome back to another edition of our podcast. It's been months.
Way too long
since we've been able to do it. So much going on in our lives. But we're coming to you from Interim Studio 82, a block from the heart of Cedarville, the famous birthplace and final resting place of Reds pitching legend Bumpus Jones. And if you don't know who that is, you got to go way back in the archives, like one of our, I don't know, fifth or sixth episode way back, and find Bumpus Jones' story. He debuted with the Reds in the 1800s, late 1892 maybe, something like that. And threw a no-hitter in his debut. And then he wasn't very good after that, but he did that. So he is a legend.
And that was one of his career two victories, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, so he is the only. We live in Cedarville, or at least some of us do. That's where we do the show from usually. And he's the only Major League player ever to hail from our fair village.
The only player to ever throw a no-hitter in his debut.
Right. It's never happened again.
Major League history.
Right. And then the year after, that's when they moved the mound back 5 feet.
And they threw overhand.
Yeah. Well, I think they threw overhand then, but they used to throw under before that. Exactly. So, all right. 20-second soundbite. Tom, initial quick thought on the season, what you're thinking without giving us predictions. We're going to save that for the big finish.
Hey, it's really exciting after all that young talent last year. Of course, you know, all these young players like McClain and Carcion Strand and De La Cruz, and it's going to be Marte, but not anymore. And
Steer.
And Will Benson and Spencer Steer and the pitchers. I mean, it's so many young, talented guys all around. It makes it really exciting. Now, I don't know, you know, if we're talking about World Series exciting, not that I'm predicting here.
Yeah.
But it makes you want to watch. You know, so I'm really excited about it.
There goes my neighbor's chainsaw again. Can you hear that?
A little bit.
I hear it through the headphones. We had a tree fall apart in the neighbor's yard, and they're out there cutting it up with a chainsaw. They were really going at it for a while before you guys showed up. But anyway, Kim, your 20-30 second soundbite.
Have to agree with the excitement of the youth and the position players, and also the fact that the Reds addressed a pitching concern, and they have depth in their starting pitching, which is good to see.
Which they needed it immediately.
Yeah, so a combination of the youth movement with some good pitching, and excited to see how Frankie Montas does. And I know it's spring training, but a little concerned about Diaz. It seemed like every time he was pitching, he was giving up a couple of runs. But overall, just looking forward to opening day and the season.
Yeah, okay, great. So, same thing, you know, just excited about it and excited to see the growth in a lot of players, what they're going to do. So, really excited to see the growth in a lot of those players. And that'll be really interesting to see, you know, how well they develop. They were better last year than we thought they would be. I don't know if they'll be better than we think they will be this year. That would be great because I doubt any of us are going to predict 100 wins or anything like that. But we still hope that they're better than what we think they're going to be. And who knows? We have to see. I don't foresee the big sophomore slump from a lot of guys, maybe somebody, but overall I think they're going to be pretty good.
I wonder how many, you know, talking about question marks, I wonder how many of these young players have played a whole season in the major leagues. I mean, India has, but he's not one of the young guys anymore.
No.
Benson. He didn't start all the time. Well, he was in the minors for a couple of weeks.
He was in the minors. He's a platoon guy too, right?
Right,
yeah,
right.
To your question.
So he
played.
Benson played in 108 games. If you're looking at like the batting leaders from last year, Friedel's the guy. Friedel and Steer. Steer played in 156 games. Okay. Friedel in 138. And Indy in 119 because he had some injuries.
Right.
You know, McClain had some injuries. He played in 89 games. Ellie played in 98.
It's really two guys, it sounds like.
Yeah, so, and I think that was, had something to do with the sort of that August time and some September where they didn't play well. You know, these guys are playing longer than they've ever played.
Right.
And especially the pitchers. You know, Abbott got tired and wasn't as good down the stretch, but he threw way more innings than he'd ever thrown in his life.
Right.
And, you know, it's a grind, and it's not a simple little thing.
So that's the big question is, can these guys actually play a whole season?
Yeah.
Because we need them to.
You would think that after last year, you know, there'll be more stamina for that this year, just as a continuing to grow, and they're young. So
yeah, you would think.
You know, but of course we got injuries to start. We got three guys out, right? And Marte's out for half the season at least or more because he's gonna have to have kind of a rehab thing when he gets back, right? He's gonna have to get in shape. And McLean, we don't know.
Yeah, that shoulder
could be the whole season. He could have surgery and be done.
He could.
And then we're missing Friedel for at least a couple months. So, but with that in mind, and you alluded to it, Kim. I had a question here. Were the off-season moves sufficient? I'd say the moves that they made and some that they didn't make that got talked about probably worked out pretty well for the most part, because where would we be without Jonathan Indian now if we had traded
him?
Right. You know, he's
actually gave him a 2-year deal, too.
Right. He's at second base, obviously, on opening day and for the foreseeable future. Mm-hmm. It's mostly what he's probably going to be there most days. And he's going to be leadoff, probably.
Yeah.
He's the guy with experience since they don't have Friedel. And so, and we, you know, Kim referenced the pitching. And so now there's depth in pitching, right? Mm-hmm. The starting pitching, because you don't have Lodolo.
Martinez stepped in for him.
Yeah, but you're not putting in Luke Weaver or Luis Sessa or Connor Overton, right? So that, you know, it's like.
You're bringing the mood down with those names.
Yeah, I know. Sorry about that. But, you know, I mean, bring him on, toss in Martinez in, and then just the younger guys being older. I mean, that's a good thing, right?
Very good thing.
A lot of good things to say about that Montas guy.
You didn't even mention Hunter Green.
Right. Yeah, so the rotation to start the season now is Montas, Green. I don't know if I have this in the right order, but Montas, Green, Abbott, Martinez, and Ashcraft. And Martinez, they signed sort of as a starter. And then they're like, I think we're going to go to the bullpen when they got Montas. And now he can start.
Yeah.
And Lodolo's going to probably miss they say April 10, he's going to pitch probably. And then Williamson's hurt. But you also got Connor Phillips, Lyon Richardson, who have some experience and are young and unproven, but they're like prospects. They're not like guys off the junk heap. So
who was it that came up late last year? Was it Phillips? Connor Phillips? Who was the
Yeah, he pitched some late in the season.
Younger, and he actually had one terrific start, but he did very respectable, performed very, very respectable.
Remember, they talked about the Reds starters as having some of the best stuff in the major leagues. Or, you know, one of those things that Jeff keeps up with, those StatCast kind of stats.
Yeah, they did. You know, Phillips made 5 starts. And Richardson made 4 starts, and Lodolo only made 7 starts last year. Of course, you know, Ben Lively made 12 starts last year. He's nowhere to be seen.
I liked Lively.
Yeah, but he's nowhere to be seen because what we have is better. Luke Weaver made 21. He's gone.
Yeah.
Ashcraft had the most starts on the team with 26. And if you can find 5, you know, they had 5 guys with over 20 starts. Abbott, Green, Williamson, Ashcraft, and Weaver. This year, if it's Abbott, Green, Ashcraft, maybe Lodolo eventually, and Montas, if you get 20-plus out of all 5 of those guys, that's going to go a long way, right?
I mean,
are they all Lodolo's missing a couple starts off the bat. Are the others going to miss a start or two?
Probably.
At some point, a couple of those guys will do something and be gone out for a month or something. That typically happens, but there's more depth there, right? So out of that depth, I think you, Kim, who do you like out of that? You like Phillips? You like Williamson? Who do you like? Who would you be your first guy after Nick Martinez? They obviously bumped him up because of his experience. But if another guy goes down, who do you like? Who do you like next best? Do you like Williamson? You like Phillips? You like Richardson? What do you guys think? Because it could happen. It could happen in May.
I know he's young, but I like Phillips.
Yeah, I like him too. What do you like about him?
He's a gamer. I mean, he came up late last year. Did he come up straight from Double A?
That I can't recall.
If not, it practically was. If not, And he performed very admirably. Again, had one good start. And I think just the fact they threw him in there, he was seemingly unfazed. I think he's a gamer.
Okay, yeah. And then even behind that bunch, you know, there's two or three more guys, right? There's, which I don't think we'll see this year, Chase Petty, Rhett Lowder, you know, Floyd that they drafted. He seems
we'll
a little.
We'll see Lowder.
We could see Lowder late in the year.
Yeah, is that the kid from Wake Forest?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah,
and
nasty.
He seems like really ready type of guy.
I think he's ready too.
But they didn't let him throw in the minors last year.
Right.
And is he going to be a double A or triple A this year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably start at double, I would guess, but okay, so I can't say for sure.
We go back to the write-ups on him, and he was, you know, almost major league ready.
Yeah.
And I remember some of the articles that I read, at least, that said he's the type of pitcher that could be with the parent club sometime next year. Sometime, is that in August or September? Who knows? But I'm excited to see what he brings as he goes up to
I honestly hope
the
we
farm.
Don't need him. Right?
Yeah, I really
don't.
Yeah, I hope they don't need him.
But I hope he does so. I agree. But I hope he's so outstanding
that,
that you
cool?
can't hold him back.
I know, right?
Yeah, that'd be great. That
I'll
would
tell
be,
you, I was listening to the Jim Daly podcast this week. He had Jonathan Indy on. And he asked an interesting question to India because India evidently takes a lot of BP off of the Reds pitchers, you know, when they throw on the
side.
Going
for live batting practice.
And he's like, who's the nastiest of all of them? You know how Daly talks.
Day, yeah.
Who's the Day, sorry. Who's the nastiest? And he goes, by far, Nick Lodolo. He said he is Cy Young material.
So Lowder or Lodolo?
Lodolo.
Okay.
And he said, you know, as a righty, you stand up there and Lodolo throws that fastball. And he says, you're bailing out on the fastball because it's coming right at your hip. And then it just tails.
Well, last year, don't know why I remember, but one of those seven starts or whatever he had, it was one of his first starts. Seven innings, he struck out 12.
Yeah.
I'm like,
said he,
man,
then, this
is incredible.
And then he's known for his curveball.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what he's known for.
Exactly.
But he said that fastball is so nasty.
You hear that from
nasty.
India. So, you know, I'm just hoping we have him in May. You say April 10.
That's what they said.
Being whatever.
That's what I read was like he's supposed to be ready to pitch April 10.
He's got something with the shoulder and something with the leg.
Well, that's still that leg issue. I don't think
it's calf muscle.
No, it's a tibia thing. Whatever he hurt. Yeah, and
what's your tibia?
Front, it's in front of the fibula. Does that help? The shin bone.
No,
shin bone.
It's your shin bone. It's connected to the knee.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, but. Hold him to come back right, you know, so he can actually.
Yes.
If it needs to be middle of May,
yeah.
That's okay. Let's.
Agreed.
Well, the thing I heard was like when he pitched, he was fine. It was his recovery time is when he was having problems. Yeah. It was during his recovery days off where he was in pain and having some pain and trouble. So.
Interesting.
Let's switch to the bullpen. The guys that are going to be in the bullpen on opening day are Diaz.
Is Diaz the closer again?
Diaz is the closer. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Diaz, Cruz. Let's see, who's back?
TJ
Diaz,
Antone,
Cruz,
Antone.
Farmer, and Sims are the guys back. TJ Antone just made the team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Partly because Sam Moll is hurt.
Because his beard, I think, is
well,
why he
the
made
beard
it.
Is the beard is legendary. And then they brought in Emilio Pagan, they brought in Brent Suter, and they brought in Justin Wilson. Brought him back. So they got two lefties in Suter and Wilson. And you got Sims, Pagan, Farmer, Antone, Cruz, and Diaz. And you got Moll, Young, and Jabot.
I don't know those guys.
Ian Jabot.
You do.
Ian Jabot led him in appearances last year. He was in like over 70 games. You just don't get to watch him on TV enough.
I could watch it. Maybe I'd know that.
Yeah, I know. Alex Young, he's the other left-hander, and Moll's a left-hander. So what I find interesting about that is there's three guys that were in their bullpen last year who were good.
Moll especially.
Not great, but good. Yeah, Moll was really good when they traded for him. But there's three guys you don't have, speaking of the depth, but I look at who they have and I'm like, okay, those guys aren't able to pitch, but when I look at the other guys they have, it doesn't worry me. It's like, oh, we're missing three guys out of bullpen. We're toast. You know, we're not going to be able to get anybody out in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning. It's nothing like that. It's like they're going to get healthy. at some point, and is there even going to be a spot for him? And maybe one of those other guys has a problem or whatever, doesn't pitch well, and there is a spot. But right now there's no spot for him anyway, because the eight guys they got there, it's a pretty good group. You know, if Antone can be old,
like he used to be,
can be in his old form, and nobody else just has one of those, like, you know, a reliever every once in a while just can't get anything going in a season. So hopefully there's nobody like that. So it feels pretty good. I mean, that bullpen kind of, as much as we would complain about them sometimes last year, kind of held that team together a lot.
Okay, so every year it seems like one of the phases of the team kill us. Like one year the starting pitching can be really good, the relievers can kill you. Another year we hit well, but our starters kill us.
Or it goes month to month doing that.
So of those three, of, you know, starters, relievers, hitting, I'm not going to put defense in because I don't think that's as big of a deal anymore.
Oh, well, I think the outfield defense is the biggest weakness,
like,
on this team.
Defense is, bench, not, defense is not
Concepcion,
necessary.
Geronimo, yeah, it is. That I think defense up the middle. Oh.
I think the outfield defense is the weakest point of this team.
Yeah, well, I think most people would agree
with
that.
Okay, but is that really going to affect?
Okay, yeah, but hold on. He did want to do. Go ahead. Go ahead, make your point.
Well, if you got
to
guys
finish,
can't
I'm just going to ask you guys what you think, what your opinion is. Starters, relievers, hitters. What do you think is the biggest question mark of this team going into the season?
And of those three, those are only three options.
I'm not putting defense on the table.
Probably because of the three guys that we thought were going to be very much regular players are hurt right now. I would probably lean toward that a little bit. But I also
towards the offense?
Yeah, but I also might lean toward the starting pitching because it's not as proven really as the bullpen. The bullpen's more proven than the starters.
I mean,
the starters are loaded with talent.
Right.
But they haven't really done a whole season of it. So probably push comes to shove, I'd probably go starting pitching. But at the same time, starting pitching could be the strength of this team.
It could be, but the biggest question mark.
Yeah.
What do you think, Ken?
It's funny because I was thinking our bullpen, because our bullpen wasn't exactly lights out last year. They really weren't.
Yeah, but they were better than the rotation.
I'm answering his question.
Okay, go ahead.
but you guys make good arguments, good points. Definitely not hitting because, all right, Candelario, De La Cruz, India, CES. We got Steer.
Stevenson
Fraley,
should hit better.
We got
this year.
Benson. You would hope so. Catcher's a little bit of a concern, but that's defense. You don't want to talk about that. So, I really wish our relievers, if our relievers are up to the task, I think we'll be incredibly stronger, and I think that will give us probably a good 6 to 10 more wins when we get to our predictions at the end.
Okay.
I thought they were more than serviceable, but they weren't outstanding.
Yeah.
But who has outstanding bullpens anyway?
Sure.
There's few.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got to, you know, when the bullpen kind of blows a game, we all just like flip out, right? And it's going to happen a few times,
sure,
no matter what. It's just that it can't happen over and over again. Like in some of these recent seasons, there's been stretches where
they go
2-8, and they could have been 6-4 over that stretch if the bullpen had been any good at all. They just
got good five innings from the starters.
See, you're making my point.
Yeah, we are. But when I look at that list of guys, I feel better about it. I love having Brent Suter. I mean, I love that guy. I mean, picking that guy up, I think that's a big deal. He's back home. He's in his hometown.
I don't disagree with you. I think that's the key for us.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's go to infield. From everything I've seen, you know, opening day lineup, which is not regular lineup, because there's not a regular lineup really anymore. There's some spots that are going to be pretty cemented, like
catcher
batting seventh or eighth, right?
Well, I think a lot of that's going to be solid. I think Encarnacion Strand's going to be at first base most of the time. India's going to be at second.
Yeah.
Cruz is going to be shortstop.
Yeah.
Third base, I think they'll.
Candelario.
I think they'll rotate that.
And the outfield will be a more of a platoon situation.
Right. Yeah.
And I think, so I think I just think it'll move around a little bit. And Bell's talked about, we're speaking to your point earlier about Tom about fatigue on the season. I mean, he has said guys are going to get regular days. We are not going to play people 162 games. So be ready for Ellie had two home runs last night and he's not starting tonight. That's going to happen because it's going to be scheduled and they're going to – it's a load management type of thing like they talk about in the NBA. But I think it's super wise because all the people that will complain about them doing that now will be the same people in August saying, you didn't rest these guys enough, you know. So you got to – there's got to be
– you're playing for the season, not for the month.
Exactly.
You know.
You do. You have to – you have to take the long view. It is a long season and you know –
And yet, I miss the days when Pete Rose was in the lineup every single game.
Most of the Big Red Machine.
Yeah.
I miss those days.
Right. And everybody did that for the most part. I mean, there were some – I mean, catchers always get some days off. But
Bench's days off when in his prime, they put him at third base or first base.
They did a lot.
Or one of the corner outfields.
They did that a lot. Yep.
Nowadays, you got DH, too. So that gives a guy a chance to still – he hits two home runs one night. You can still put him at DH the next day.
You can if you want to, yeah. In the way Bell likes to do those mid-game switches when they bring in the lefty or whatever, they change the pitcher's handedness changes. You're going to see guys pop back in the lineup in the seventh inning who didn't start that night.
Is it Candelario a switch hitter or no? We know De La Cruz is.
Not that I like the DH. Just to be clear, Jeff.
But it opens up options.
But it does help with the rest you're talking about.
See? You're coming around.
We'd have never seen the athleticism of Don Gullett if there'd have been a DH.
Yeah, he's a switch. Yeah. He's a switch hitter. Yeah, I thought you were right.
That helps the Reds, too, with
You're right about that. I don't know what his splits are. I think they're pretty even. I think I've heard that they're pretty decent. It's not like we're afraid to play him one way or the other. So, you know, MLB.com had their possible opening day lineup of India at second, Elliott short, Steer in left, Fraley in right, Candelario at third, CES at first, Stevenson catching, Martini the DH, and Benson in center field. Now, Martini's not going to play every day. Benson's going to play a lot. He still can't hit left-handers. He hasn't proven he can. Maybe he'd be better this year. Stevenson will play a lot. I don't like CES batting sixth.
Yeah, it seems like he should be up higher.
I want him like at least fifth.
He's to me, put him in a cleanup spot and leave him there. That's my opinion.
Fourth or fifth.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the first part of the season.
Do you like Steer it hitting third or?
No, I
De La
think
De La Cruz hitting third.
Bell has said De La Cruz is his number two hitter this year, so you're going to see him batting number two all year, I think. And when Friedel comes back, he'll be playing a lot. He'll be batting leadoff.
We're going to miss Friedel hitting leadoff.
Center field. Yeah. We just, you know, India could be very solid up there. I mean, he's not going to steal and he's not going to bunt his way on. But if he can get on base at a 350, 375 clip, you know, that'll help.
He's our presence. And we saw how much we missed him last year. The team missed him when he went down.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
He's a presence.
I think, and when McClain comes back, I think it's pretty obvious things I've heard and seen. He's a long-term number three hitter for this team.
You would think.
And then, you know, CES, I think, is a long-term cleanup. I think, you know, Fraley's going to play some. He's not always, you know, it's just going to be because of all that, you know, they picked up this. So the infield starting out is the infielders on the opening day roster: De La Cruz, Candelario, CES, India, and then Santiago Espinal, who they just got from the Blue Jays. Who, you know, he's kind of an average player at best.
He was an all-star.
Yeah, he was an all-star one year, but that was his. He had a really nice stat line that year. Not so great.
He's well liked in the clubhouse wherever he's been.
Right.
I read an article on him recently. Good pickup.
And yeah, you had to go get somebody, and that's probably as good as anything
that you could get, right?
And so
I think missing Arroyo at shortstop as a late inning defensive shortstop.
Marte?
You mean Marte?
No.
Arroyo's
Barrero.
Oh.
Barrera, sorry.
Yeah, he's with the Rangers now.
No. No, the rookie guy, shortstop for the Reds that got hurt.
Oh, Edwin Arroyo?
Arroyo.
Well, he wasn't going to be in the majors anyway.
No. Oh, they talked about keeping him as a late-inning defensive replacement.
I don't think that was ever going
to
happen.
He went up to double-A
late last year. He was in Dayton most of the year.
Yeah.
But they were lauding his defensive skills all during spring training.
One thing that you hear is that if he gets to where he's major, whenever he's major league ready, if he indeed becomes major league ready and fulfills his potential, so to speak, De La Cruz is going to have to find another position because everybody says he's the best glove in the organization.
Hal McCoy thought they should have put De La Cruz in center field.
Yeah.
And Frieda went out.
Well, we even talked about last year at right field with that rocket arm. Yeah.
That could happen eventually. I would like to see Ellie get established as a hitter and then fool around with positions. I like keeping him there and let him get established as a hitter.
How good of a season you think he's going to have? I mean, Helmick's talking about he's going to strike out a lot.
I don't think he's going to strike out as much. I think he's going to be better at that. I thought he was better at that at the end of last season. He had better at bats down the stretch.
I agree. He's going to lead the team in strikeouts.
You think he's going to be an all-star?
I think
he might. But he also might lead him in slugging percentage and stolen bases.
That's true. But we're just talking about strikeouts. I could see him striking out a lot. I hope you're right. I hope it's cut down. But if you're asking me, or we had to put money on who's going to lead the team in strikeouts? Starters, my money's
it's like a Billy loose. Hamilton thing. You need him to get on base to use the speed.
Yeah,
but if he's striking out all the time,
I think he's going to be better. I think he's worked everything I've heard. From my experiences with him, that kid loves the game too much to not work at it.
Did you spend time with him when he was in Dayton?
Oh yeah, yeah. I had several interviews with him and just watched him play and saw him in the dugout and in the clubhouse. He's infectious with his personality. He's a great teammate. All the guys, so he was, you know, when he was in Dayton, he was like, it was like all these guys, all his teammates were just guys. And it was like Mickey Mantle was in their clubhouse. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
That's what it was like. I mean, he was the superstar there, and everybody knew it, and everybody loved him. At least that all I can see. You know, there are probably a couple guys had issue. You know, there's always a couple guys think I should play more or whatever.
You would be able to tell that, though, covering them every day.
You can see it.
Were there some guys that you could tell were not liked?
Not necessarily, but you can tell the ones that are. You can tell the ones that are. And he just, I mean, just, yeah. I mean, I like the guy a lot. And he's got the most raw talent in baseball, I think, and I think if his plate discipline gets better, I mean, the sky's the limit.
They seem to have a good clubhouse. Every time you hear one of the players interviewed, I know they're supposed to say that,
right?
But it does seem to be genuine.
Well, it's when you get it. You know, one thing about that kind of stuff is when do you get it unsolicited? You know, if you ask the question, "How's your clubhouse?" Oh, it's great. Yeah. But if they're saying stuff without you asking about it, that always means a little more because you didn't ask about it.
Yeah.
So I think that's who they are. So.
Well, it's India. One of the reasons he said he said it was really hard because all the trade talk last year in the off season, he was talking about how tough it was on him. But he said how happy he was to remain a Red and be able to have an opportunity. He says he thinks this is the year for the Reds to go deep in the playoffs.
You know, the thing about the two-year contract for India, I thought was a good move because it helps if they were to trade him to another team, then he has another year of service to them. So
tradable.
Exactly. I thought it was just a good move all the way around. Now, the fact that McLean and that shoulder or that labrum or whatever it is specifically, that's a real concern. You know, at this point in time, do you trade India? Heck no.
No.
And we're thankful that we didn't, or that they did.
Yeah, and that they signed Candelaria when Marte.
And we're all like, what in the world? What
right.
in the world?
Where would we be without, I mean, Ellie would be at third. or CES would be at third, and they, or who knows what they'd have to do.
It would just be thinner.
Well, they could cover the spots. It just would be thinner.
If Friedel wasn't hurt, you got him out there, and then you have Spencer Steer, who can play third, first, wherever. Played second last year.
Yeah, that's his natural position, I guess, even.
Which one, second?
Second's like the one he played growing up.
Really? And you're not going to steal that from McLean.
No. No, you're not. You're not. So left field's a great spot for him. So
one point. You talked about wanting Eli De La Cruz to establish a hitter, then move him around. It's so different because Steer was moved around constantly, and he deserved to be in the top two or three for Rookie of the Year, which I don't think he was. He was a mainstay for the team last year. Yeah. So.
He was MVP, wasn't he, for the team last year? Wasn't Spencer
could have been.
Steer?
I don't know.
I think he was. So. Think
Friedel had the highest WAR on the team. Friedel had the highest
Steer,
WAR.
Though. Yeah, led him in home runs, RBIs.
Yeah.
Okay. Outfield. No Friedel in center, right? So it sounds like Benson's going to play a decent amount of center.
Which is concerning because he had some judgment issues out there in right field last year.
Fraley, we know, can play right. Fairchild can play center. Mm-hmm. Fairchild, to me, is kind of an average player. They brought Martini back, who kind of made some splashy, you know, big home runs last year. I don't see – I'd be surprised if he's on the team at the end of the season, possibly. And then you got Steer, kind of the main guy on left. The thing that they didn't address, I think, in the offseason was another right-handed hitting outfielder that you could count on, you could platoon, you know, guys that were available. Like, I mean, Duvall was available. Michael A. Taylor was available. Somebody else. They didn't – we never went and got one of that guy. And so now you're looking at, okay, when you face a lefty.
Yeah, it's tough.
You got Fairchild, Steer, and maybe Martini because Benson and Fraley, whew, they have not hit left. They've never proven that they can do anything against left-handers that you really want them in the lineup.
I know it's only spring training, but I was a little bit surprised they let Mike Ford go because Ford had a phenomenal spring.
Yeah, he sure did.
I don't know which side of the plate he bats. Again, I don't get to see him on TV either.
Yeah.
But he had a great spring.
Well, yeah, you just got to – yeah, and they still have to
– And he's a veteran.
Right.
So you'd have a proven guy in the clubhouse.
And so this, at least when we sat down here, they hadn't said who the 26th man is, as far as I know. They still haven't. The two names that are kind of left I've been hearing about are Bubba Thompson, who's played with them a little bit, and Jacob Hurtubise, who would be a rookie. That's the guy that went to the West Point and fast outfielder, had never hit a home run in his life. He's hit a few now in the minors. He's bulked up a little bit and hit some home runs. But he was in Dayton. He was leadoff guy, super exciting player. And I hate for a young guy like that to be on the bench, be the 26th guy and hardly ever play. But maybe for a little bit, he could be the guy because he could pinch run, he's fast. He could do some stuff. He could play the outfield. If he's
a West Point guy, you know, he's a strong leader.
He's a leader, he's smart. He was great. I mean, he was one of my favorite players to cover in Dayton. I talked to him after a lot of games because I always knew I could get good stuff from him. And, you know, other guys been mentioned is Blake Dunn, who was great beginning of last season in Dayton, worked as well all the way up. But I think he, because of his power, he was like not a big prospect either, like Hurtubise. I would rather them leave him in the minors. I don't want him sitting on a bench at the end of a bench and never playing. They did that to Jose Barrero. Now, Jose Barrero's had more chances and hadn't panned out, but I would hate to see them do that. They won't do that with Blake Dunn. He needs to stay down there, and someday Blake Dunn could be a regular everyday outfielder for the Reds, possibly. But he's still, you know, he's hit the ball crazy everywhere he's gone. So that I'm not going to sweat who the 26th guy is, you know. I mean, it's got to be somebody.
Don't sweat it, Jeff. It's going to be okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to get worked up about it. How about you guys? So that's kind of like, those are all the guys. We know Friedel's out, McLean's TBD, Friedel till May, Marte, which was a really disappointing thing, obviously, because I thought this guy could win Rookie of the Year.
Right.
Modolo for a while. Williamson, Young, Jabot are all TBDs on how long they might be out. But if you think about, take those names, like the last two or three years, that many names of that guys that were going to fill the roles they filled. If you'd have pulled those names off the opening day, the last 3 or 4 years,
triple and double A guys,
been terrible. So Kral gets a lot of credit for building the depth, so that when, yeah, you'd rather have McClain than not, but
India's a pretty good replacement.
But it doesn't your season's not ruined because you lost Matt McClain for maybe the whole year. Who knows? So anyway, so that's kind of where all that. So we sort of went through piece by piece. We talked about Ellie. Anybody else you think? Anybody else in the lineup, the offensive side of things, you think's gonna be really good, bounce back? Well, we overrated.
If Stevenson can have the year he had two seasons ago, I'll be more than happy.
Oh, that'd go a long way to helping this team.
Wasn't he injured two seasons ago?
Yeah,
and we were hoping that led to his mediocre at best season last year. But to answer your question, Stevenson.
I think he was not. It took him a while to really get back because he wasn't bad late
spring,
in the year.
He started out horribly, but sure enough, after about 2 to 3 weeks, he started hitting the ball well.
Yeah.
We always say, what's it take for a team to make a run into the playoffs? Your guys got to have their normal years, and then somebody has to have a career year.
Right? You need somebody in the MVP race. That's is what right. you're saying. You want somebody. If we get somebody finishing the top 10 MVP voting, that goes a long way, right?
And so, we don't have that many candidates that could be in that MVP race, right? With McClain out.
Well, I mean, we do and we don't. We do talent-wise. We don't proven if they can they do it over long haul-wise. That's the thing. So somebody could surprise us. I mean,
we don't really have, Votto's got to be Votto. Remember we used to say that?
Yes.
We don't have somebody who has to be.
So if Strand hits 35 to 40 homers, which is possible for him.
Oh, wow.
He's in that discussion.
And Ellie can hit that many, too, if he cuts down on the strikeouts and stuff.
If those two would have career years.
The thing about
big-time breakout
McClain
years
versus Ellie, if I had to choose one, I'm taking McClain on my team. I get all the splash with Ellie. But
McClain
will
hit 300 for you.
McClain is so steady. Mm-hmm. Take out injuries and all this. He is so steady. I want him on the team.
I'd say he is advanced and has already kind of plays like a veteran. Mm-hmm. Ellie hasn't yet. But I think
as exciting as Ellie
was, I think he could be incredibly great.
As exciting as Ellie was, okay, and I'm not unable to watch the Reds too, so I'd have the Twitter account going, and it'd be like, oh, Ellie, what are you doing? So many base path errors, and then the errors at shortstop, whereas McClain, it's not only does he not make those errors and make those bad decisions, he performs way above average. I just think he is so steady. I think he and Strand are just incredible.
He's also a couple years older, and I think that has something to do with it too.
So if Friedel and McClain just be themselves, mm-hmm, and have their,
if we get them back,
yeah.
Well, we'll get Friedel back.
And then De La Cruz and Strand have career breakout years. We got the pitching.
But
Strand came up really late.
He did.
And what did he have? Still had 13 or 15 homers.
I got it right here.
And he came up, wasn't he, other than Marte, he was the last one to come up.
He was late for
he
sure.
He only played in 63 games.
13 or 15?
How
many homers? 63
games.
How many homers
did he have? Oh, I got to, let's see. Oh, here it is. He had 13 in 63 games. So
triple that.
So that equates out to.
You could easily triple that.
So that I was going to say that equates out to about 33 to 35.
Yeah, He can definitely
do that. I mean, what if him and De La Cruz both hit 30-plus?
Yeah, and I think, what's a breakout year for Ellie? Is batting 250?
250, 270.
Is 250, if he hits 250 and he's up, he gets the 30 homers and steals his 50-60 bases.
With guys around him in the lineup, you can protect him as well.
McClain and Friedel are on base for him.
And steer behind him or Strand. I'm telling you, I 250 to me would be a letdown. I'm saying 270.
Well, you want that, but I'm saying for him, just for him, after what he batted last year, you know, he what'd he finish at?
240?
235. If he's in the 250s, I mean, that's a pretty good jump when a guy's trying to learn plate discipline, not strike out. So I would say anything over 250, I would be happy. I'd be happier with 275. Yes, of course.
There's not that many people in the majors that are 275.
But see, 270 is like his magic number. So
that's right. It was.
It is. It's his magic number.
Who was that before?
It's like the general. You know what the Mendoza line is? You know what the Mendoza line is? 200. 270 is the Generette line.
Hey, we'll take it. We'll take it.
You know, and I think this offense could be like really, really good. I think this team is gonna score runs. I'm not worried about them scoring runs.
But you know what they say about real estate: location, location, location.
What's that got to do?
And you know what they say about baseball?
No, I don't.
Pitching.
Yes, I do. Yeah, but we're talking about the offense.
I know, but that's what I'm saying.
Right, we got to have that too. I'm just saying this team's gonna score runs. The pitching doesn't have to be the best pitching in the league. The starting pitching's got to be better than last year.
We said that before.
The starting pitching's got to be better than last year, but I think, anyway.
It's nice to see Sonny Gray starting the year on the IL, especially since we didn't
Sonny
get him.
Gray, yeah.
No, I loved him. I hated that we didn't get him.
Yeah.
Who's he playing for? The Cardinals as a divisional opponent. It's great to see him on the IL.
Yeah,
I was reading The Athletic. Jim Bowden, remember him, our GM, he did a prediction in The Athletic of National League Central where he thought the teams were going to fall. And he rated, you know, starting pitching, relief, you know, A, B, C, D, whatever. And he rated the Cardinals all lower than the Cubs and the Reds. But he picked the Cardinals to win the division because they're the Cardinals, I guess.
Well,
very frustrating.
Hopefully they'll be the Cardinals we saw last year.
I don't think they're
going to pick the Reds to come in third.
Behind the Cardinals and the who?
Cubs.
Pick the Cardinals to win the division. It's because they got Arenado and...
Cardinals, Cubs, Reds, Brewers.
I don't understand the love for the Cardinals.
Because they win every year.
They're not last year.
They're like the stinking Steelers.
But they're not last. They didn't win last year.
They came in last, didn't they?
Last place. Why are they going to... What have they done to improve their team?
Sonny Gray.
Yeah, well, he's not in this. He's not starting the season with them. I mean, they really haven't. The Cubs, I think, I think it's the Reds or the Cubs.
The Brewers lost a lot.
Yes,
lost starting a lot. Rotation. Devin Williams is on he's out for like 3 months. I mean, you don't have him at the back end of the bullpen. I just don't see it. I think, and all those projection systems that are out there, you know, that project zips and two or three other ones. None of them give the Reds much credit, but the problem is that it bases all of its projections off past performances,
right.
And the Reds don't have much in the way of past performances.
Right.
So when they break out, this group is going to be – there's too much talent for this to, like, completely fail. It's not going to happen, right? Doesn't mean they're going to win the World Series in the next 4 years. No. You know, the Reds were really good starting in the late 60s. They didn't win a World Series till 75. You know, it took a while. So it could take a while. But they're going to be competitive. They're going to be in the race. They're going to be there. And that's better than, you know, take that. Eventually, you know, you want to win it, right? You don't want to get to where you're winning the division area like the Dodgers and then flaming out in the playoffs. You don't want to do that. But at the same time, they're gonna be a big factor this year, I think.
So you think the Reds are gonna win the division?
Well, we're gonna get to that. So John said predict a win total. He said 90 in our text chat. Who wants to go next?
I would come in just under that. I'd probably come in at like 88, and a 86 or 88 and a wild card.
Well, okay, we're gonna talk about the playoffs in a second. 88, you going with 88?
Let's go 87. I'll go in the
middle. All right, I'm putting this in my episode notes here.
Okay.
So we'll have it.
Did we go back and check last year?
Yeah, we were all in the 70s.
Okay.
And somebody was in the 60s.
Helmick was 66. I was 68.
Good memory.
All right, Kim, what's your number?
I thought about this before we got here.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right.
88.
I've thought about it.
We know you have since you asked.
Yeah, I'm going to go 89.
Oh, come on.
We got 87, 88, 89,
right, you can go under and still win.
I'm going
$1.
I'm going 89 because I think they can win the division, and I think 89 is enough in this division. So are they a playoff team, Kim?
Yes.
Tom, are they a playoff team?
Yes.
What did John didn't answer that? So
with 90, you got to believe he thinks.
Probably.
I was talking about Jeff's son-in-law. I didn't know where he was going with that. But.
Oh, yeah, because they're about to have a baby.
Okay.
That's what he was referring to. Yes, my daughter is probably going to have a baby on opening day. So.
I need to call him.
I want her
Pete. No, or Johnny.
Ellie. No, they already have a name picked out. I'm not allowed to disclose that.
Ooh,
but they haven't picked out. We did recently here this week.
Well, we do have a large following, so it's safe to...
It's safe to probably put it out there.
That's true. Yeah. Don't worry. Don't hear.
Yeah, nobody will hear it.
Sparky Anderson somebody answer the phone at WKRP.
Somebody on the other side of... Somebody in the Ukraine will hear it. And yeah. And I'm a yes. I didn't ask to win the division, but I think a playoff team, and I think they have every chance to win the division. I think that in this division, so. Okay, so.
Jim Bowden, by the way, thought 84 games would win the division.
It could. It really could.
Because the other two divisions, the East and the West, are pretty darn good.
Well, yeah, you got to have to win 105 to win the West.
Yeah.
If you want to beat the Dodgers, you know, you really do. Yeah. I mean.
Giants got a lot stronger in the offseason.
Yeah.
By the way, opening day, you know, the Reds are playing the Nationals. And Nick Senzel's playing third. Did you see that?
I see.
And
he's been struggling.
Isn't Winker on there, that team, too? I think he is.
Didn't they sign him to a minor league contract?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. And Josiah Gray, who's a former Reds farmhand, is the starting pitcher.
Is
yeah,
that
he's,
right?
Yeah, he's starting. So, all right. Let's do this kind of one at a time so somebody don't like to take everybody's. I'll go first this time. Something you want to see on opening day. Mm-hmm. I want to see Montas go at least five good innings. Doesn't have to be scoreless. It just has to be five good, solid innings. You're like, we got something there. That's all I want to see. If he goes longer, great. I want to see five. Tom, give me something.
How about De La Cruz gets a triple?
Okay.
That'd be fun.
That'd be fun to see. You're going to be there. You want to see that.
Are you going too? Okay.
No, Kim is not going. He's...
FAFSA.
He's buried in paperwork.
Either?
No.
You've been the last few years.
We're having a grandson that day.
And it's his mom's birthday.
And it's my mom's birthday. She's excited.
So he can't go for 2 years in a row.
Yeah. Yeah, every time March 28th.
We went up to Detroit last year. That was our
every
game,
time
right?
March 28th is opening day, I can't go. Just kidding. All right, Kim, what's something you want to see opening day?
All right, who was it earlier? Tom didn't want to talk about defense. I think defense is so underappreciated. And again, I referenced the Reds of the mid-70s with up the middle. Bench, Concepcion, Morgan, Geronimo. I would like to see this team no errors, no EDPs, nothing of
no
that
errors.
Nature.
No errors on opening day, yeah. And
it's easy to make errors in the cold weather.
It is, and it's easy to make. This outfield. The thing that concerns me about this outfield is that not necessarily making an official error, but not tracking balls well, not running.
Well, that's
down,
Will
not,
Benson. That's
not,
Will
not,
Benson.
Not running down a ball in the gap that should have been caught and goes for a double and leads to a big inning.
Yep.
That's the thing that.
That's right.
That's the concerning thing about this outfield.
I just want to see our defense play very well all year long. No pass balls.
Well, there'd probably be a couple.
Not on opening day.
Not on opening day. Okay. All right. My second one is, I got an Ellie one too, but I'm going to save that one. I want to see the bullpen come through, because you're going to use them. I want to see them kind of come through and save this game for them. You know, keep the Nationals off the board in the last three or four innings and get the job done. All right, Tom.
I mean, definitely that starting pitching, like you said, we need a good start. How about Steer hitting a home run?
Steer hitting a home run, that would be fun. Anybody hitting a home run, but yeah, Steer would be fun. Him and CES, be fun to see them hit a home run.
That's my guy. I want to see CES with multiple hits, including one home run. He's had like a few triples in spring training.
Yeah.
But I want to see him with a couple of hits and at least one of them a home run.
Okay. Of course, we all want victory, so we won't say that.
Yeah.
All right. Now, let's see if you guys remember this. I want to see Ellie hit a home run. And I want to see his celebration make Dave Martinez mad again. That's what I want.
That's right. I forgot about that.
You remember? I didn't like his antics after that.
Come on.
Because he was doing like four or whatever. And
4-4.
Yeah. So anyway, I just want to see him hit one in the river and do whatever he wants around the bases, and Dave Martinez be sour grapes after the game. That's all. I make my day. So that's my three. Anybody got anything else?
So one of my favorite opening day memories is when my son was young and we went and we sat up high at Riverfront. And the Reds won like bottom of the ninth or bottom of the tenth. You know, it was the last inning. And Larkin slid in home to win the game, and the place erupted.
Oh.
It was a fantastic game.
You'd love to see a finish like
that. It would be great to have another win like that.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
10-0 be fine, too, with me, but I know what you mean.
Yeah.
It's fun to see that.
Yeah.
It's fun when you get one like that.
That would be fun.
Were you on the infield or the outfield?
We were above home plate, but way up.
Way up in the red section,
yeah.
In the red seats.
In the reds.
Yeah. Okay. Can you get anything else?
No.
All right. Let's just win one.
Yep.
Win one for the three old Reds fans. That's what we say. Okay. Anything else left unsaid, untalked about? Anything else you've been thinking about this team that you think matters or is important, or the Reds don't? I mean, you can have obviously too many injuries can really derail you, but anything else? Any other thoughts?
You know,
parting shots, parting thoughts.
Earlier, y'all mentioned Nick Kroll. You do have to give him much credit. So, not only for what he's done, but also for Castellini, who does not like to spend money. I think Nick Kroll has done a very good job. Not talking about just this offseason, the past few years.
Castellini's kind of went quiet. You don't hear much from him.
Yeah, they gotta stay out of it. So, you know, payroll. I'm looking on.
As he's looking at he and his son last year with those comments, his son, where are you going to go? They need to stay out of it.
That's right. Yeah. They need, I think maybe they've intentionally.
Don't be a George and Hal Steinbrenner. Yeah.
So the estimated final 2023 payroll was $87 million. The estimated payroll this year is $104 million.
That's $20 million.
Remember, our payroll last year
was the Mets
over
luxury tax.
Luxury tax, yeah.
Yeah.
Was this
more
year
than
our
a
payroll
Reds payroll.
Yeah. Ohtani's salary.
Yeah. I know. I know. And then, so this year's 104. So the highest paid Red this year is Montas and Martinez are at $14 million. Candelario is at 13, and those are the highest paid guys.
All the guys we went out and got.
Yeah, they owe Votto $7 million in a buyout. They owe Moustakas $4 million in a buyout. They owe Will Myers $1.5 million, and they owe Casale $750,000. They got potential buyouts later for other guys if they leave, but that's, you know, you know, Pagan's 8 million, India's only 3.8. You know, Suter, Farmer, two million and some. Sims is almost 3 million. And, you know, and so there's just, they're not a lot of high priced guys. I think one of the, Montas next year would make 20 million. I think what's one thing that's interesting to think about is, and that, well, the 20, a bunch of these young guys, they have a TBD for this year, probably because I don't know if they've set the minimum or not. I would think they have. So they gave Hunter Green long term, right? They gave him 6 years, $53 million through the 28 season with a 29 club option, which would be for $21 million, which would be a bargain in 2029 if Hunter Green is really good.
Yes.
that's a bargain if Hunter Green's really good in the state. Yeah, $21 million is not, that's a lot of money, but in terms of baseball payroll, that's a bargain, right? Who's the next guy that should get something? Who's the next guy that you go out to 2029 or 2034?
I think this is a big year for determining that. I mean,
I agree 100%.
McClain needs to do what he did last year.
Agree 100%.
Ellie needs to develop, you know, and Strand needs to have. But because if what if McClain has a terrible year? Or what if Encarnacion Strand has a terrible
McClain
year?
McClain might not even have a year.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, McClain could have been a one-year wonder.
Could be. Yeah, yeah. I think I like what they did with Green because they said, we believe in you. You're our guy. You know, we believe in you. So I think you're right. Those guys, Strand, anybody, a couple guys that like really maybe cement themselves this year. It was like legit, regular, big league players who can make all-star teams, stuff like that. That's the guys that you're going to look at. And I think Ellie's the guy they want to do it with just because of all the fanfare around him, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see.
Well, pitchers too. I mean, are one of these pitchers going to step up?
Lodolo could be.
He could be one.
Lodolo could be for sure. Now, they're not going to do it with any relievers really, but Lodolo could be another guy that gets money.
Could Ashcraft have a great year?
Yeah, I mean, I like that guy a lot, too. They're all good. One thing I didn't mention, didn't bother me a bit, but Montas starting opening day, does that bother anybody?
No.
Do you even care?
It's not a thing anymore.
I don't even really care.
Anymore, that's not a thing.
Because Hunter Green got it last year. It's like, it's ceremonial, I think. I don't think it matters.
Is it, or do they time it where they want to pitch?
They can, and as spring training progressed, they began to guys started to slide into this day and looking at the calendar. You know, you can't maybe – it's hard to manufacture that all the way to the day sometimes, possibly.
But
I don't know.
You can a couple weeks ahead of time.
A couple weeks ahead of time, yeah. But maybe they just, you know, let's throw Frankie out there and let's say this is the guy we brought in to help lead us. Now, I will say I did hear one thing about the type of surgery he had. Most pitchers kind of have a year after that surgery. The year after that surgery is average at best season, and then the next year after that, they're kind of back in form if they were a good pitcher in the first place. So, but it's not 100%. It's just sort of
– we need a pitcher.
Sort of the, you know, more than 50% of the guys tend to struggle for a year before they really find themselves, but – but you hopefully that won't be the case for him.
We talked about position players needing one to have a career year. We need a pitcher to do that too.
Yeah, it would be great.
We need an ace.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think Green and Lodolo are the most possible. I think if Montas – if you get 26, 27 starts out of Montas and his ERA is under 4,
right?
That's really good.
What about Abbott?
Abbott.
Look at the start he had last year. We talked about how he got so tired. I could see Abbott being up there.
Yeah, and Ashcraft, great, terrible in the middle, and then he figured it out again. He had some personal stuff going on in that middle part too. So,
well, they changed their pitching coaches too.
Yeah.
And that whole philosophy, which is a whole other episode maybe. Those articles in The Athletic were fascinating.
About
I forget who sent them.
was just stuff about them.
About all the different, was it you that sent those?
Yeah.
I love those articles.
Yeah.
It was about
you get those emails, don't you?
Well, I subscribe to The Athletic now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I love those.
Yeah, they really break that stuff down. And oh, they were looking at stuff that causes arm injuries and looking at all that kind of stuff, right? Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a good episode thing to talk about.
Well,
in the future.
We could. And then the short of it is that the guy that was there for a while that they had, Kyle Bodie, you know, the driveline thing and right. all that. I mean, his thing was go out and throw as hard as you can. Didn't really work in some ways.
Yeah.
Guy was never a pitcher himself, so, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, so this change could be really good for the Reds, too. A new, fresh person coming in.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be good. Okay. All right, well, I think we can wrap it up and look forward to opening day, and we'll get back at this sometime here, hopefully not too far into the season, and try to be more regular this year.
I know the fans have been clamoring.
I know. I've been getting mail every week. Anyway. So,
sorry, everybody.
Yeah. All right. Well, when we return, I'm quite positive we will be discussing the first place Reds.
All right.
All right. Okay. Until then, go Reds.